Welcome back to another podcast episode of Uniquely Genetics, a podcast by Sheep Genetics. I'll be your host today, Victoria Ledger. For those of you who haven't met me yet, I'm new to the Sheep Genetics team and I'm working in the marketing and adoption role. This is my very first podcast, so please bear with me if I'm a little rusty. Today, we're diving into something that's creating a real buzz in the sheep industry, combined lamplan. For years, our lamplan analysis has separated maternal and terminal breeds, but now, with this new development, combined lamplan will bring them together into a single analysis. It's a major enhancement to our analysis, and I believe it's a really exciting and positive change for producers and the industry as a whole. So in this episode, we'll unpack what combined lamplan actually is, how the journey started, and what it means for the future of sheep breeding in Australia. But before we get into the technical side of things, I wanted to take a moment to introduce our guests. Today, I'll be chatting with two extremely knowledgeable guests, Peter Bradley from Sheep Genetics and Sam Welcome from AgBoo, the Animal Genetics and Breeding Unit. A little bit about our guests. All right. Peter is the manager of Sheep Genetics at Meat and Livestock Australia, MLA. Over the past 8 years, she's held various roles across the MLA livestock genetics team, including working with both sheep and beef R&D portfolios. She completed a Bachelor of Rural Science at the University of New England in 2017 and is based on a property near Armitree in central New South Wales, where her family runs a commercial seed stock sheep operation alongside cropping. Peter is passionate about helping producers across Australia's world-leading genetic evaluation services and using them to drive meaningful on-farm results. Sam is a senior research fellow at AgBoo, based at the University of New England in Armidale. His research focuses on developing tools that drive real industry change through genetic solutions. He plays a key role in implementing the combined lamplan evaluation, managing the resource flock, and developing breeding values, including for traits like shedding in sheep. All right, let's get started. Right, Peter, you've worked across sheep and beef genetics, and you've seen a lot of change and progress across over the years. So I'd love to ask you, what's a piece of advice you've never forgotten, whether it came from a mentor, a producer in the field, or maybe even a moment of trial and error? What's a piece of advice that has stuck with you?
Oh, that's a good one, Victoria. I've had the opportunity to work with so many great people that have given me lots and lots of words of wisdom. One that I always remember is that a champion team will beat that of a team of champions. So I think that is really, really powerful and is something that I certainly have thought about a lot when it comes to how we work, but also in sport. So the fact that if you've got a team of people that are working to work together towards a common goal, whether that be a football team, your sporting team around you, or whether that be a work team, I think that concept that it takes that team to achieve that goal. And if you're all individuals in that team, you might be all the best in the world, but if you're not working together, you're not actually going to get the job done. So that's my piece of advice. It's probably a nice foray into what we'll talk about with combined lamplan today, because I think that concept has certainly applied as we've brought it to life.
Sam, I'd love to bring you in here too and join the conversation. Since we're lifting the curtain a little bit today, let's keep that going. What's something people would be interested to know about you?
Sure. Thanks for having us on the podcast. I'm excited to talk about combined lamplan. I guess as much as I quite enjoy working in sheep genetics space, I do have a lot of passion in sport and quite enjoy it, and have played quite a competitive level of tennis in my mind, maybe not always on the court, but I have been playing tennis for a lot of my life. And I guess following on from Peter's comment about team, I've always thrived on being part of a team and enjoying that aspect of working towards a goal together, which I think aligns quite well with what we're going to talk about in this podcast.
Don't undersell yourself at all on the tennis, Sam. I have made the grave mistake, Victoria, of playing with Sam, naively going down to the tennis courts one day only to get absolutely hammered. So he is a very good tennis player.
Thank you, Peter. I'll definitely take note to have Sam on my team and not to play against him. All right, I love that. Thank you both. It's really clear that teamwork and collaboration are at the heart of both of what you do. And that's a perfect segue, I think, into today's main topic. Peter, could we start with you? From a producer's point of view, can you explain what Combined Land Plan is?
Sure thing. So I guess, Victoria, to really, really step back into how this journey started, there's a particular day that stands out in my mind of really when we confirmed the decision to embark on this pathway. We'd been talking about it for a while, the need to combine the current terminal land plan analysis and maternal land plan analysis. And that had come around by we'd been seeing a large amount of overlap or crossing of breeds, but also, you know, in particular, the rise of some of the shedding breeds and our ability to compare, say, Dorper type animals that have, for historic reasons, have been in the terminal analysis with some of the new shedders that have been derived from more maternal breeds like the composite maternals, where we essentially selected and bred the wool off that were sitting in the maternal analysis. So I guess that first need, we were in a meeting one day with Sam, the sheep genetics team was sitting in a meeting at AGBU at the University of New England, actually discussing it because we've had a number of requests come forward about wanting to compare different breeds and how the analyses were evolving. And that day was really when we decided we needed to do this sooner rather than later. We couldn't keep this, and there was a real industry need to embark and kick off the combined land plan journey. So very much from a sheep genetics perspective, what it means is combining the maternal and terminal analyses. That was the initial need, and you can go, that's quite simple. We can just put the data sets together. But it's actually turned into something a lot more than that. It's really the next generation of land plan, because we haven't just combined data sets. The team at AGBU have really took the opportunity to do a lot of other R&D and make sure that our that new land plan analysis not just combines data sets, but is really future-proofed and is really cutting edge in the way we utilise performance information and as well as genomic information. So very much from a producer perspective, what does it mean? It means that we'll be able to compare all non-merino breeds head-to-head using ASBVs. But that's also not necessarily, not everyone needs to compare all the different breeds together. It also means that we're able to derive new products for commercial producers from that new analysis, as well as improve our evaluation system in that we only have one analysis to maintain and service going forward into the future once we completely release the combined land plan analysis. So it started off as that simple conversation, but I think it's led to being something a lot bigger than that.
Thank you. Yeah, I am. So I guess it's always a little bit different how the researchers approach this and the group at AGBU, so the Animal Genetics and Breeding Unit. In essence, we knew that bringing the data together was going to cause a change in the breeding value. We understand that as more information is informing breeding values, we're going to see change. So we're going to get that just by incorporating the different analyses together. And as Peter said, we do have that linked animals. And so the data is going to improve their predictions. And so when you know you're going to bring change and it's good change, you want to maximize what you're getting out of that change. And so along with just making sure that we can run an analysis that is now twice as big that pulls that data together, can we also take this opportunity to do a lot of adjustments within our evaluation to overcome some problems that are in how we deal with data, Can we improve how we model the genomic versus the pedigree information and account for probably an analysis that, as Peter said, sets us up for the long term better and really make sure that we produce reliable breeding values for industry in the long term that most people can take advantage of?
Wow, it's incredible to hear just how much groundwork has gone into making combined land plan possible, from the infrastructure upgrades to the long-term research projects and genomic advancements. It's clear this isn't just a small tweak, it's a major leap forward and big change. So now that we've explored the how, let's talk about the why. What are the key benefits of combined land plan for the industry, and how do you see it impacting both seed stock and commercial producers now and into the future?
I can kick off on that one very much. I'll let Sam talk to some of the technical components of it that has enabled us to do it. But very much from a sheep genetics perspective, one of the key developments that has really enabled, I'm actually calling it enhancements to the analysis, because changes often has it as a negative connotation, and I'm not walking away from the fact that there's going to be changes, but we're very much set up to enhance the evaluation. So one of the key things that has enabled us to merge the data sets in the way that we have and able to also report the results as a research analysis has been the upgrades that have been made to the sheep genetics infrastructure, particularly over the last 5 years. So two key developments come to mind, and that's the upgrades to the sheep genetics search site, which happened back in 2020, and also the release of the new sheep genetics database in 2022. And the reason I say that is the search site actually is now a lot more functional in the way that we're able to develop and report new analyses. So we'll talk a little bit more, I think, a bit later in the podcast, Victoria, about how we're going to report the combined land plan analysis. But having that new website to enable how we're going to report it is really, really critical. And I don't think, if I reflect on the old infrastructure that we had, I don't think we'd be able to actually necessarily report it in the way that we would want to going forward from the old system we had. And the second part, probably the most important part, is the updates to the sheep genetics database and the database redevelopment that got launched in 2012. And that was really consolidating all our different data sets into a central location where we're able to do more development in our database infrastructure. So as part of the combined land plan process, we've put a lot more back into the sheep genetics database. And what that means, I guess, from a producer perspective, is some of the validation that happens on the data that you submit from your farm to sheep genetics, we're able to pass real-time information back to you on that data when you upload it via our submission portal. So that means that you can you actually know the data that's going off to the analysis, and we've made some upgrades to that as part of combined land plan. So that database upgrade and the website upgrade very much so are key enablers in terms of infrastructure. But Sam, I guess you're probably better placed to talk about the data that's really enabled this as your teams work through the process.
Yeah. So I think it's fair to say that the genetic evaluation has been evolving or being enhanced regularly for many years now. And there's some core research components behind it that are allowing this enhancement that was started well before we had that meeting where we thought we should do it. I think I'd like to pull two out. One is the information nucleus flock, which became the resource flock project. This is enables us to have the multiple breeds of maternals and terminals being run head to head. So we have that really nice linkage population, or population where we have strong linkage to all our major flocks from both the terminal and maternal side being compared head to head. I must say that that's actually enhanced as well, because there are many properties where maternal flocks are run next to the terminal flock, providing that linkage as well. And so we have this quite good comparison of maternal and terminal genetics against each other, so we can make that comparison. It's the same principles of why we can make comparisons across flocks through that linkage of sire lines. So having built that and have that resource underpinning our valuations for a long period of time is really valuable. And then the second one is the step in towards genomics and the release of the single step evaluation and incorporating genomics really opens the path to better understand the population structure that we're working with and modeling the genetic relationships between individuals beyond just what we know from pedigree. And so we have a much stronger ability to make predictions within our composite populations, which are becoming more and more important, or more and more a part of our evaluation. So those two things are probably being some long-term projects that are underpinning this capacity. And then as all good science does, it evolves through time and new opportunities have opened in our ability to process data, run the evaluation more efficiently, and dealing with data, which has enabled us to run a larger evaluation.
And I think on that, Sam, it reminds me of some of the episodes that Chloe covered back in season one of the Sheep Genetics podcast, are really around the evolution of the analysis. And that whilst this is a pretty major enhancement that we're making this year, we have had this iterative process of releases over the lifetime of Landplan that has really placed us in good stead to be able to do this. We've had this year's 2025, we're actually celebrating 25 years of multi-breed genetic evaluations for our terminal sire breeds with the multi-breed Landplan analysis first released in 2000. And maternals have been multi-breed since 2012. So, and then also in that process, you mentioned obviously the release of single step in 2017, but we've also been making lots of other genomic updates over the last probably 10-year period on top of those data sets. So whilst it's been a big piece of work, a lot of the, I guess, the iterative changes that we've made over the last 25 years have also enabled us to be able to do this.
Thank you both. Peter, I love that you pulled me off on saying change instead of enhancement. Point taken. It's definitely a great reminder that language always matters, especially when talking about something as positive and forward-looking as this. Okay, with that in mind, let's talk about these enhancements and what they actually mean for the people who rely on the data every day. What are the practical benefits of combined Landplan for the industry? And how do you see them impacting the seed stock and commercial producers?
I'll have a crack first, Sam, if you like, because there's probably so many benefits of this, Victoria, from the sense of the evaluation in industry, but then I guess the long term, how we continue to evolve and make our evaluations or continue to maintain them as world leading. I guess the key benefits from if I put a producer hat on, a seed stock producer, and a commercial producer buying rams and purchasing rams, it's the ability to purchase rams on breeding values regardless of which what breed they are, if as long as they're not a merino. And there's one producer I know, and there's probably a few other examples where they've got a terminal sire breed, they've got maternal composites, and they've got merinos, and they're all being displayed on sale day. And at the moment, there's three different evaluations represented across those animals. So if you're walking between the maternal composites and you're looking at the post-weaning weight breeding values and the terminal breeds looking at the post-weaning weight breeding values, you can't compare them. And there's two lots of percentiles even there to get your head around. And from a commercial producer perspective, that's a really difficult concept to grasp if you're not operating in this space 12 months of the year like a lot of our seed stock producers are. So there's a real benefit firstly, being able to compare those different breeds. Just because you can compare them doesn't mean you need to go and swap breeds all the time. Having a really clear breeding objective is still incredibly important. But the big piece around that is a simplification of our genetics messaging. So having those, you know, you can compare in a ram sale maternal composites and terminal sire breeds, for example. From a seed stock producer, you're out there driving genetic gain, and particularly in composites, you're able to look across those evaluations and and select sires that meet your target objectives. And we've seen that already. People, 35% of the animals in the terminal evaluation and maternal evaluation actually coexist in both evaluations. So it's happening out there. This is actually really enhancing producers to be able to do that, but also simplifying the messaging that we're not ending up with animals with two sets of breeding values. So that's very much from a ram purchasing level, is one of the key benefits, and that simplification. The second and probably most exciting, particularly in how well it aligns with the release of MLA's new strategic plan. So if anyone isn't aware, MLA released its new five-year strategic plan in July this year, 2025, takes us out to 2030. And as part of that plan, there's a bold ambition around the delivery of multi-breed genetic evaluations and livestock credentials. It's really exciting that we're so early on in that plan that we'll be releasing this research analysis as a world-leading multi-breed evaluation. But the part of that is the livestock credentials that this really enables. So we've known and seen the success of flock profile for merinos in terms of that's been a really great adoption tool for commercial producers wanting to get in and understand breeding values and use that to buy or purchase better rams. We haven't had that ability to do that for pens of, say, composite maternals or first cross and second cross lambs going through sale yards. But in the journey to combined lamb plan, that's been at the forefront of Sam's team's mind and our mind as we've embarked, is how do we use this analysis to underpin those new genomic products for the commercial sector? And that really links in with that livestock credentials component of the MLA's strategy. So whilst when we're releasing it now, we won't have those tools available from August, but as we continue to release the modules of combined land plan, we are very much working and working through the timelines of when we can make those commercial genomic products available for non-merino breeds coming out of this analysis. So they're the two benefits, I guess, from a producer-facing perspective that I see, is the ability to compare across different breeds when purchasing rams, and the fact that this new combined land plan analysis underpins our ability to provide descriptors of genetic merit on commercial producers. But Sam, I know there's a lot more than that that this analysis will benefit, particularly that a lot of people probably don't see the benefits of unless you're in the science like you guys are every day.
Yeah, we are very excited about what it means for breeders and how industry can and utilize these tools we're developing. But I think you always need to think about what's going on behind the scenes. And as Peter said, many people probably don't see them. And a lot of the changes are actually making sure that the behind the scenes component that helps allow that fortnightly delivery of breeding values is robust and sound enough to maintain it for a long period of time. So there has been a lot of changes in regards to that analysis pipeline and how we're dealing with data. We have made some reduction pruning of data because it was seen to be not influencing the ability to predict the genetic merit of the current selection candidates. But there's also been some decisions in how we deal with genomics and those sort of things, which rely on a large computing resource and are growing exponentially, that we need to keep managing because we do need to deliver regularly and do it in a stress-free environment as best we can. So the combined land plan and ability to bring two analyses together enable breeders to access all of the modules and all of the traits irrespective of breed. So moving the terminal breeds to the component reproduction analysis instead of them just getting number of lambs born and number of lambs weaned. It's not saying you have to change your breeding objective, but it enables you to access information that you weren't getting before. Same as well as bringing the breeds all together within a single lambing ease evaluation. So they're the current modules, but in the future, with the likely inclusion of data around shedding traits, methane, feed intake, enabling us to put all of the breeds or the non-merino breeds together into a single evaluation and provide those traits for everyone in one go is really helpful for us from a research point of view, and our results show that we can do it quite comfortably and provide good, accurate estimates of an animal's genetic merit and enable the correct ranking of animals.
And I think, Sam, that's having them all in one and the serviceability of the analysis going forward, I think is so exciting, because we've often seen it where we've released a trait. Component reproduction is a really good example. We did that for maternal breeds back in 2018, and it's a big piece of work to then go and do it again for terminals. And as those new traits come online, we don't have to go and then do one piece of research and development for the maternal analysis, implement that, and then those same people then for the next 12 months spend that time doing it for the terminal breeds. The fact is, those new traits going forward in one analysis, we're only doing it once. And that allows, you know, more R&D to happen outside that, rather than just doing the same thing or repeating the process for the different analyses. So I think that's really exciting, and it hopefully will mean those new traits get rolled out to industry sooner, so we can start to select on them and make genetic progress sooner than what we might have been able to if we continued to maintain the two evaluations.
And especially for breeders that have animals moving across the analyses, to get it in one analysis and not the other is a bit less than ideal, so we can avoid that.
It's really great to hear how this sets us up for future enhancements, not just in traits, but how quickly and efficiently they can be rolled out. Sam, you mentioned something that caught my attention, that part of the process involves reducing or pruning some of the data. Could you unpack this a little bit for us? What kind of data are we talking about, and why is it being removed or scaled back?
Yeah, so it wasn't chosen to reduce data just because we felt like it. It was a scientific process to make the decision. In essence, we do need to look, and we'll look into the future on how we best use information. From an analysis point of view, with each addition of an animal or a genotype or a phenotype, we add an extra calculation. And so it exponentially grows over time. And as a result, the question is all of the data still relevant to the animals in which we're selecting upon? So two decisions were made. The first one was to remove old data. So this isn't removing animals from the pedigree or our understanding of how animals are related to each other. We're just removing the phenotypes from the animals born before 2000. So that's close to 4 to 5 generations now away from our selection candidates. And so we don't, when we removed it and modeled it, we didn't actually see much change, or very, very little change in the breeding values for our current animals. And so it will cause a change in our base. So what we would consider an average animal will be a different breeding value, which Peter talked about earlier, and I'm sure we'll talk about later. But it does mean now that as an evaluation, we're basing everything on the average 2000 animal. So when you think about what's your breeding value compared to, it's comparing to the average animal's performance in 2000. So that was the first bit. The second decision was to no longer incorporate the New Zealand data from SIL. We had a collaborative relationship with them of sharing data. But as a result of the closed borders and the fact that Australian producers are unable to bring in New Zealand data, we're not actually seeing any New Zealand rams being used here. And so therefore it's not influencing our current candidates. That's just a decision to remove the data. That doesn't mean that if the border opens tomorrow, we couldn't incorporate it back. But at the moment, it was providing no value, and it was about an extra 1 million animals we had to produce a breeding value for that was not getting published on our website or shared. Again, it's not the pedigree or the pedigree relationships. They'll still sit in there. It's just the phenotypic data for those animals that's been removed.
Wow, that's a big reduction. Does that mean that the analysis, is that going to help it be faster? people going to...
It's purely made, well, not purely, but it has made huge computational improvements in our time of running, which enables us to, I guess, be safe as more data comes in each year and the analysis grows with our current animals in which people are looking to select from.
It's a very clear there's been a huge amount of work behind the scenes, and I know it hasn't just been the two of you driving this change forward. Could you tell us a little bit about the broader team behind Combined Land Plan? Who's been involved in bringing this to life?
I guess it probably comes back to one of my answers to your early non-work related question that I'm going to bin back on its head, Victoria, is that a champion team beats that of a team of champions. And I think that is certainly the case with the Combined Land Plan analysis. And it has been a true team approach. It's probably been one of the most rewarding experiences in my working career to be part of. And that's because it's not just an AgBlue team and a sheep genetics team. It's the way we've probably worked together. And it has been literally every person in our sheep genetics team has been involved in this process. So everyone from our development officers with Kate and Marnie and now Sophie, Chloe before that, yourself and Nicole, who support with the material, as well as our database managers with Stephen and Hermes in particular, who's done a lot of the work that was required on our database. So that's everyone in our team, but it has also been, I guess, how well we've worked with Sam's team, who I'm sure he'd love to give a shout out to.
Yeah, so it's one of those moments where you get to present on behalf of a team when really it was the team that did the work, not me. it's always a pleasure to present on behalf of the team, and they deserve the kudos much more than I do. We've had quite a large group, and I'm just going to rattle off some names, and it's not a reflection of importance in the order. But obviously Daniel Brown, most people will know I've been working on it, but we've also got a group of up and coming mid-career researchers that have done some great work, including Raya Alexandri, Sarah Della Huss Saldana, Philip Gurman, Aaron McMillan, Lee Lee, have been closely related on this, but the whole sheep team across projects have been involved as well. So that's the people now, but I'd like to do a big shout out to, I'll call him the captain. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but Andrew Swan was instrumental behind this team and getting this team to take on such a huge challenge. So a huge shout out to him, and it's immensely, I don't know, I feel really good to be able to build on his legacy and deliver Combined Land Plan for the sheep evaluation. So with this huge team up in AgBlue, they've done a great body of work behind this and continue to do with the release of the future phases. So shout out to all of them. They've been great.
Yeah, and I think it would be remiss of us. I'm glad you mentioned Swanee, Sam. This will be a real legacy for him, but also how the team has worked through a pretty difficult period for both groups of people to be able to deliver this to industry in the way that we're planning on is a real honour to Swanee, and a real kudos to your team, I guess, for working through such a challenging time. But onwards and upwards, and I'm sure Swanee will be proud of it when we get the breeding values out.
Yeah. And a special shout out to Aaron McMillan, who will be running 4 evaluations now for industry while we produce the Combined Land Plan. So that's important to say as well. Like we've made Combined Land Plan more efficient, but knowing the scale of the change that is ahead and the helping industry understand the changes in breeding values, we're going to be running the evaluation in parallel with the current evaluations for a period. So it has put more pressure on us, but in the long term, we'll be better off.
There's clearly a massive team behind this work, and while I know you're not quite at the finish line yet, it does feel like we're on the home stretch. There's still plenty to do, but looking back, is there anything that's really stood out for you in this journey, whether it's something technical, strategical, or even personal that you've learned and taken away from developing Combined Land Plan?
I think obviously the team approach is incredibly important. I think we can apply the learnings through this process very clearly, you know, to any other piece of work we embark on together. So certainly the importance of having a team and bringing a team on a journey. But also one thing I know that we talk a lot about both the sheep genetics and we talk about it with the AGBU team is pace over perfection. So we want to deliver incredibly robust tools and technologies to industry, but we're really confident that the work for Combined Land Plan shows that this new analysis, our old analyses have been good, but this one is better. But we've also had to make lots of calls and trigger points along the path is we can spend another 90% of our time stewing over something that's going to give us a 1% improvement. So it's knowing where to draw the line on a lot of things. And I think that's really important concept that we want to deliver really good, technically robust tools such, and I'm really confident the Combined Land Plan is exactly that. But we also need to keep moving and be adaptive in our approach as new challenges arise. Because when you go and embark on a project plan like this, there's always going to be things that come up that you don't quite expect. So how you tackle that, how you make decisions and work together to overcome them, I think is probably a really key learning that I'm sure I will take out of it, but it probably resonates with a lot of our listeners and a lot of our sheep genetics clients in their own farming businesses in terms of, you know, making decisions, having clear decision and trigger points of when to act and that balance. They're balancing a whole range of things, time and effort, and we're balancing pace and perfection.
Yeah, I'll mirror Peter, but I found it very comforting as we went through this process of making enhancements to overcome limitations that the old evaluation did, made new ways in which we deal with data, how we've done with the genomics. It came clear that we had a very good product in our current land plan evaluations and we were doing a very good job, but as a result of the validation that we do at a scientific or a technical point of view to prove that these changes are worthwhile, we've been able to make these evaluations better and our quality of our breeding values has improved. And especially in those harder to measure traits where we have less data, we do see some really good improvements in the ability to predict our breeding values. So that's been really comforting that not only were we doing a good job, but we're now doing a better job and we'll continue to be able to do that. So that's what I learned the most.
I think that really sums up the heart of what this project has achieved so far. For producers who are interested in learning more about Combined Land Plan, where's the best place for them to go to find out more? Peter, I think I'll hand this one over to you.
Yeah, so obviously we have covered that high level information and I guess how we've got to where we are today. We had a webinar, which the recording is available on our website. We also have a dedicated analysis enhancement website page dedicated just to the release of Combined Land Plan for this year, which you can find on our Sheep Genetics website. That page and our enhancement booklet, which has been mailed to all our sheep genetics clients, really covers, I guess, all the things that have gone into Combined Land Plan and why through this enhancement people have seen will see differences in particularly the absolute number of the breeding value that they're seeing on the website. So it's really important to take some time and read through those resources to get a gauge of all the things that have updated as part of the change. Sam covered on a few things such as the removal of data and bits and pieces, but there's a whole lot more that has gone into it. So I really encourage people to have a rewatch of the webinar if you weren't able to make it and read through the analysis enhancements. The other thing, the breeding values are available on our sheep genetics search site, and it is really important to note that they are a research analysis for the next 12-month period. So it is clearly noted if you go to the search site and you go, I want to search, you can still search maternals and terminals because they will be run in parallel, as Sam mentioned before, but you can also begin to look at the breeding values for the combined lamb plan. So I really encourage people, once they understand and have read through the documentation, to jump in, have a look at those breeding values, even though they're not the ones that are, most people will be using this upcoming sales season. It's really important to start to get a gauge on what those are. And I'd be encouraging particularly our sheep genetics clients coming into sire selection to be using those combined lamb plan breeding values for their sire selection for the traits that are available. So over the next 12 months, Sam's team certainly has not put tools down on this. We're just the first release module that has come out in August covers our growth and carcass traits and eating quality traits. But we'll be releasing more modules with more traits coming available over the next 12-month period. So reproduction, landing ease, worm egg count will come later. So it's going to be a 12-month process, and I'm sure we'll have many more podcasts as each of those different modules come online. So I guess it's going to be a really important year to stay engaged with our sheep genetics activities. And, of course, if you do have any questions or would like to go through what that means for your clients, I'd strongly encourage breeders to jump online. You can register for a sheep genetics development officer one-on-one to talk through any individual questions you may have about your flock.
Thank you so much, Peter. I just wanted to say a big thank you to both you and Sam for joining us today. It has been a real pleasure having you both on the podcast. Your insights have helped me better understand the significance of combined lamb plan and the impact it's poised to have on the sheep industry. It's really clear this development represents a major step forward, and I'm excited to see how producers engage with it in the coming months. Before we wrap up, I just wanted to give our listeners a quick heads up that our next episode will be dropping in mid-September. And I think this is one you probably don't want to miss. We'll be talking with a producer about his experience with the new combined lamb plan results. So thank you again.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks very much. And always good to have a chat with Sam.